The rape allegation scandal engulfing the Morrison government is widening. A fourth woman now has made a complaint about the same former Liberal adviser, accused of raping Brittany Higgins and of harassing and assaulting two other women. Already, the federal government has announced four reviews in the wake of Brittany Higgins' claim. But the scandal has also sparked a debate over workplace safety at Parliament House, as we were discussing earlier with Greens Senate leader Larissa Waters. Labor lawyer Lisa Heap is a former executive director of the Australian Institute of Employment Rights. Lisa, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thanks for having me, Fran.
You've been working in this field now for a long time. Were you shocked by the allegations that we've been hearing over the last week or two?
Look, I think any allegations of rape or sexual assault are shocking, but it's something that there is ample evidence to tell us that this is happening across Australian workplaces, and regardless of the industry or the occupation, this is a risk that's there. So to that extent, I'm not shocked that there are these things can happen in any workplace in Australia, including Parliament House or the Liberal Party as a workplace.
Okay, so it's not a surprise, it's a risk that's there. It then comes down to how it's been managed. What's your view of what we know of how it's been managed?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like everyone else, I'm only getting my information from what I'm reading and seeing in the media, so I'm cautious about that. But what I can see is that I don't see the fact that there was a risk management plan in advance of this happening to try and prevent these things from happening. And what I feel I'm seeing is that there's a great amount of confusion about what should have happened once it became apparent this had occurred. Mm-hmm. And I'm very concerned about this idea that there are four inquiries going on. That to me marks of also a lack of coordination and knowledge about how to handle these types of matters, but also kind of a little bit of a smokescreen, a deflection about getting down to resolving issues. Inquiry after inquiry after inquiry has occurred in relation to why we have sexual harassment, assault and rape in Australian workplaces. We know the factors that are in play. We should be talking about how we can plan to mitigate the risk of those happening and have better responses rather than investigating individual circumstances.
Okay, Justin, and I want to come to that about we know why we need to get onto what we know we need to do. But when we talk about, you know, a great amount of confusion about what should have happened, former Howard Government Minister Amanda Vanstone wrote yesterday that Linda Reynolds' office's handling of the Brittany Higgins case was textbook. She says the minister gave Brittany Higgins all the appropriate support. Quote, she listened to her, respected the choices she made, and that includes Brittany Higgins' decision not to pursue the matter, and her privacy should be protected. Do you agree with Amanda Vanstone that as her employer, Linda Reynolds handled this in the textbook way?
Yeah, no. Sorry to use a colloquialism. Look, it's important in these matters that the central point that we accept is that the person who's the victim survivor has the agency here, and what they want is paramount. The first thing that needs to happen is that that person who's experienced this needs to be supported in a way that makes it absolutely clear that they should get a professional support and assistance if they want it. Mm-hmm. They should be encouraged to get that, and they should be encouraged to get that before they make any decisions about what they want to do about any matter. What also should happen straight up is it should be made abundantly clear to that person that there is no risks to their employment associated with them, whatever choice they make in relation to how they want to proceed with the matter. Now, that seems to be something that's in play, a question that's in play in relation to this matter, that, you know, the idea of the political fallout associated with, you know, making a complaint bringing it forward is something that was in play for this individual, and that person should be given unequivocal support and knowledge that they would be supported regardless of what they decided to do.
Okay. You wrote a submission to the Human Rights Commission when it did its inquiry into sexual harassment in the workplace. You've referred to it here this morning. You talked about the positive duty of employers and senior colleagues and in terms of when it comes to risk assessment. If you were to do a risk management plan for parliamentary staffers, what would be in it, do you think?
Yeah, automatically identify what the risks are, and they're obvious. Okay. first of all, you deal with the fact that they're political staffers, so they're employed effectively in a context of a liberal a party, in this case the Liberal Party. We know in politics more generally, and in particular that party, that men's power and control is paramount at the moment in terms of the leadership positions and the culture that's in play. We know from things that have happened in the media in the last 12 months, there's at least a question around the type of culture that's operating in that party atmosphere, what does get support, the normative standards that that are there. So we know that there's a culture of sexism, there is, these things are factors that, underpin violence against women. We know that in politics there's aggressive behaviour, it's supported, there's a machismo about it that's supported. These are all risk factors. Take on board as well the fact that political staffers are in a particular position in relation to their employment. They're likely to be people who are loyal to a party, they're likely to be people who are interested in politics and see themselves as being potentially having a career. So that's another risk factor, we say, because power in that context to people who are desirous of creating a career in an area can be, a mix that doesn't sit quite well. This is analogous, in fact, to the situation with sort of associates, judicial associates in the High Court that mm-hmm. we saw last year, where you have, people who are in that role as associates. It's part of their stepping stone towards hopefully careers in the law, and the people who are they, working with are the people who can make or break them in the law. This is similar in the political arena with political staffers and politicians. So these are things we know. We know now in advance, as employers of those political staffers, we could plan for those things and make arrangements around that. Plan must include dealing with the culture of the organisation, and Parliament more generally. It includes dealing with men in decision making and men in power and control, but it also includes accepting that there are people who are in positions of vulnerability in this relationship, and we must have checks and balances in places around them.
Okay, so in other words, knowing and dealing with the number of men in power and control, that would include perhaps moves to ultimately change that balance, that ratio of men to women to men. Dealing with the culture of the party, that would mean actively from the leadership looking and sending messages very clearly from the top down of changing that, and accepting that it's a risky issue for young women having procedures in place to deal with and support them if things go wrong. Is that what you're talking about, that kind of thing?
Yes, and I think in those, and that last point, Fran, those procedures probably need to be independent of the party in this instance, because if you say that's a risk, that mix of political ambition and power in the political context is a risk for people who are employed in that context, then you probably need an independent process for getting support and also for reviewing and working with a person about how they want to take forward a matter.
Well, that seems to be clear. And as you say, it's not right. That's a surprise, but it's still to be done. And let's hope that is about to be done. Lisa Heap, thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran.
Lisa Heap is a Labor lawyer and a former executive director of the Australian Institute of Employment Rights.